And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by the Ford F-Series. DJ Bucky here. Bucky, we got a video show that's also an audio, so people listen to this on the pod. Hello to you. People watching, hello to you.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, DJ.
What do we got, buddy? What do we got today?
We got a lot of stuff going on. We have the Game of the Week breakdowns, Falcons and Patriots, Redskins, Eagles. Can Brent Hundley lead the Packers to the playoffs? And finally, we got these bold predictions of the week. See if you can go bold this week.
Yeah, bold predictions that you nailed last week, buddy. You did a nice job with that. Again, all of our video stuff, if you guys are looking for it, if you're listening to this right now, NFL.com/MTSvideo, or you can find it on NFL Now for all your Move the Sticks goodies here. All right, Buck, big news here to start off the show. We know where the draft is going to be. Last year was epic in Philadelphia. We're going to stay in the NFC East, and we're going to go to a rival of the Eagles. We're headed to Dallas. What do you think, man?
Hey, things are always bigger in Texas. This should be an exciting deal when you think about the draft, having it go to Jerry World. Look at that arena right there, man. Stadium.
Indoors.
Packed indoors. It should be an exciting time in the middle of the country. I'm excited to see what kind of show Dallas can put on because we know there'll be a bunch of fans that go just to see their players.
Yeah, I think we'll see a bunch of people traveling there. It's very easy to get to forever. It's a direct flight, Dallas. You can get there from just about anywhere. So I think we'll see a bunch of out-of-town fans there. We know that the Cowboy fans will be there in force. I'm looking forward to, though, how the Eagles get their revenge. Remember last year? I think we might even have the clip of this last year with Drew Pearson at the draft. Unbelievable.
I want to thank the Eagle fans for allowing me to have a career in the NFL. And on behalf of the 5-time world champion, Dallas Cowboys, Hall of Fame owner, Jerry Jones, coach, Jason Garrett, all the Cowboy players that played before me, that played with me, and played after me.
I can watch that a million times. It is still good. Now, we need to nominate a former Eagles player to play that role. Brian Dawkins would be a
good maybe he'd get him fired up for sure because he kind of morphs into Wolverine on game day, so I'm sure he'll be very, very excitable during that time. I think the big thing with Dallas, depending on how they finish, they could be really, really obnoxious.
Oh my
gosh. Having the draft in Dallas could be a lot.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm just looking forward to seeing your mug when we're going around doing all this work, seeing your mug up on the giant screen.
On the Jumbotron?
On the Jumbotron.
I mean, it's pretty big. I mean,
I tell you right now, nobody wants to see that much of me. I guarantee you that. All right, let's jump into some games here. We really got two games of the week that we're going to talk about this week. The first is the Super Bowl rematch. We saw last year, 28-3. We'll probably see a million of those signs in the stadium.
You think?
Yeah, probably. Patriots at home taking on the Atlanta Falcons. What are you looking for matchup-wise in this game, Buck?
Look, whenever it comes down from the head coach that someone needs to touch the ball more, I think you can expect the Atlanta Falcons to feed Julio Jones. Julio Jones has not necessarily been the dominant force that he was a season ago, and they want to get him back on track. Last season, he averaged over 100 yards per game. He was a big-time factor, big-time playmaker, kind of did everything really setting the table for that offense. This time, you have a new offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian. Haven't necessarily gotten him untracked. He's only averaging about 73 yards per game receiving yards. They have to make him be a big-time factor. And because they've had so many communication busts in the back end of the Patriots secondary, I think Julio could go big in this one.
Yeah, I'm looking for, in this game, maybe just flip him a reverse, get him a quick screen, tunnel screen, whatever. Just get the ball in his hands, easy completion early in the game. Let him get hit. Let him make a play. I think you'll see that confidence start to build there for Julio in this passing attack. For me, the key to this football game, I think the Falcons' offense is going to get him out to a lead again, just as they did in the Super Bowl, and I think it really comes down to finishing. This is something this team has had an issue with fourth quarter this year. We saw the comeback by the Miami Dolphins not being able to finish. Obviously, we go back to the Super Bowl. That was an epic collapse. So I think they're going to be out in front again, Buck. I think the key to them is can they close out a game? Can you close it out with a pass rush? And can you close it out with your running game? That's what they have to do to get this done.
On draft day, we talked about their ability to add another fastball pitcher off the edge. Vic Beasley's not going to be in this one, but Tack McKinley can be a factor off the edge. They have to be able to heat up the pass rush. They don't want to necessarily commit to blitzing people, but they have to be able to get off the field. On offense, that means you got to run the ball. You got to run it out. You need to be able to run the clock out. And so can you run the ball when everyone knows that you have to run it? that yin and yang, that complementary football formula that they have to play. We'll see if they can close it out against the Patriots this week.
All right, let's flip it over to the other side here. New England Patriots, key to the ball game is what?
They got to get the ball to Brandon Cooks. They need to use his ability to stretch the field to really create opportunities for Rob Gronkowski and Chris Hogan and other guys working underneath. Brandon Cooks was a big-time acquisition. They still haven't gotten him up and going, but they need to find a way to make him be a guy that teams have to worry about. I like this matchup because Brandon Cooks has had success against NFC South opponents, obviously going back to his time with the Saints. They should target him early and often and look for him when he lines up on the left to take shots. That's how Tom Brady prefers to go about his business.
Yeah, we've seen some flashes of Brandon Cooks and connecting with his quarterback and Tom Brady. Just want to see them consistently do it week after week. I'm going to say in this game specifically, you touched on it a little bit earlier, the Patriots, some of those big plays they gave up early in the season. You think back to the Chiefs game, the ball just flying over their head. Just keep the ball in front. Give up. Look, live to play another down. You're going to give up some plays to this offense with the Atlanta Falcons. Just keep things in front of you. Secure tackles and avoid the big plays. I think that is absolutely a necessity for this Patriots team to have a chance, because firepower-wise, offense to offense, huge edge, in my opinion, to the Atlanta Falcons. But if you can get some threes, force them to kick some threes instead of getting sevens, that'll be big for this football team. Just keep the ball in front of you and tackle.
That is the main thing. The Patriots have always been really good at – look, you can have your way from 20 to 20, do a good job of bogging down and getting stops in the red zone. Same thing for this defense this year. Don't let the ball fly in front. Keep it in front of you. Don't let it fly over your head. If they do that, they certainly have a chance to win, because I think their offense is going to score points on the Falcons defense.
All right, let's pick a winner here. Who do you like in this one?
I'm going to go to the Patriots. I think it's tough to knock off the Patriots at home. I know the Falcons have the firepower to be able to get it done, but I just think the Patriots are going to continue to get better. That defense is getting better each week. I think they find a way to win.
Well, I've got good news and bad news for the Falcons here. I think the Falcons win this game. I think they get out to a lead, and I think they actually hold on to that lead in this game. That's the good news. The bad news, you don't get a ring. You don't get a ring for winning this game, unfortunately. The last time they played was a little more important, but I think the Falcons go on the road and they get it done. How about this Monday night matchup, Buck? Redskins, Eagles, going to get a chance to see one of the hottest teams in the NFL in the Philadelphia Eagles sitting at 5-1. I believe they'd be the number one seed in the NFC if this season ended right now. And the Redskins, I feel like one of the least talked about teams, very competitive sitting here at 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, two teams that have really been driven by the play of their quarterback. In Philadelphia, you talk about Carson Wentz. In Washington, it's all about Kirk Cousins and how he has been able to kind of reinvent his game with a new cast of weapons on the outside. I think it comes down to which quarterback plays better.
Well, you mentioned which quarterback plays better. Let's expand this, not just this game, for the rest of the season. If I told you right now for your football team, you get one of these guys for the rest of the year, who are you taking?
Man, it's tough because I kind of like both guys, but I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins. And the reason I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins is because I believe the veteran has learned how to change his game based on what he has around him. A season ago when he had Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, he was taking more shots. They were pushing the ball down the field. They were using all of the weapons. This year, he doesn't have the same cast of characters on the outside. He has changed his game where he's using the running backs and the tight ends, taking advantage of those matchups. He's efficient. He's effective. He is finding a way to give them consistent production, and that is what you expect from a guy that you're calling your franchise quarterback.
And I'll go to the other side. I'll take Carson Wentz for the rest of the year, just because, talking about a little bit bigger guy, and to me he has some of those Big Ben qualities, being able to shrug off defenders when he's in the pocket, able to escape and get away from some things. Look, Kirk Cousins can run. He's a mobile quarterback as well. I think Wentz just a little bit better athlete, a little bit bigger package when you look at what he can do for the football team, and he's just, the confidence just continues to soar. I don't even think he's scratching the surface of what he can be. I think Carson Wentz is a legitimate MVP candidate. I would go with Wentz.
I mean, it's tough. I don't think you can go wrong. I'm really excited about the young player in Carson Wentz. I think the best thing that they've done in Philadelphia, they've balanced out that attack, taking some of the burden off of him having to throw 35, 40 times. As they've had a more balanced attack, he's been more efficient, more effective.
All right, the matchup to watch inside this game. Let's go Redskins offensive line against the Eagles defensive line. And we can roll the tape on the Washington Redskins and kind of show you what we've been looking at when we study this group, Buck. And I like the fact that you've got a team that's a little bit creative in the run game. If you watch Brandon Scherff here at right guard, you're going to see him. It's almost like a shot fake right here. Then going to come across the formation. It's a nice little trap here. You're going to see a puller. And look at the lane you have there for Chris Thompson. This is an easy 10-plus yard carry. Nice little creativity with what you're doing up front in the offensive line. Then when you watch him in pass pro, you're going to see a pristine pocket here against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, nothing opens up down the field. And that's going to give a lane for Kirk Cousins to take off and run and kind of help substitute what they're doing in the running game. So he's been outstanding. Kirk has, and I think some of it you have to look what they're doing up front, running the football, taking some pressure off him that way, and then just give him a nice clean pocket.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a really good job up front. Their offensive line doesn't get a lot of credit, but they should be. They're one of the top five offensive lines in football, and when they're able to control the game at the line of scrimmage, the Washington Redskins are a very, very tough team. But in facing a Philadelphia Eagles defense that is absolutely playing well, and part of the reason they're playing so well is because right up front, they can control the game. Talk about Fletcher Cox being able to be a dominant player. Chris Long giving some contributions. Derek Barnett and others. They can throw out so many guys at you that they just wear you down with the sheer numbers that they have up front. Jim Schwartz to simplify the defense. These guys are going. They're getting after it. It's going to be an interesting battle to watch who is able to control the line of scrimmage in this game.
All right, pick a winner. Who do you like here, Buck?
I'm going to go to Washington Redskins. I'm going with the quarterback. I think Kirk Cousins finds a way to make enough plays to push them over the top. This is a great game. It's competitive. The Eagles really can kind of seal the deal if they get it done. I think Washington understands that pressure. They rise up and meet the challenge.
I think it's a back-and-forth game, back-and-forth. I think Carson Wentz ends up just making one more play than Kirk Cousins. I like the Philadelphia Eagles to get this done at home. Now, look, that's us picking a couple ball games. If you want to see every game on the NFL slate get picked, tune in to NFL Pick'em. That's Saturdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network. We've got our podcast. What are the podcasts we got involved in?
We got Game Theory Money.
Yep.
They're on it. We also have the Heroes, I guess they called themselves.
Yeah, so-called Heroes. Yeah,
around the NFL guys are also picking. And then DDFP.
Yeah, a little Damashek.
Damashek gets in.
He usually gets Ike in there with him, maybe a little MJD. You never know what you're going to get
Never
there.
Know.
But anyways, check that out. That's Saturdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Brett Hundley, Buck, we're going to see him with the Green Bay Packers now. Aaron Rodgers, broken collarbone. He's out for a significant period of time. When we watch Brett Hundley and what you see last week, why don't you go into the tape of what you saw when he got onto the field against a very good Minnesota Vikings?
You know, this is a player that's really improved in his 3 years in the National Football League. He's really gotten better. Started out to a bit of a slow start. When you see the Green Bay Packers, it's a lot of quick game. Here we see a simple slant, flat combination. Not really a good job with the route. Got undercussed. Ball is deflected. Typically, it leads to interceptions. But what I liked about Brett Hundley is he came back and responded in really outstanding fashion. Here we're going to see a quick route, tight window throw, triple slants. Ball is thrown, and you talk about fitting it in a mailbox. Outstanding throw. This is also what Brett Hundley gives you. A little athleticism and mobility. Wait, get rid of the ball. Ball is not able to come out on time. Extends the play a little bit. Their scramble drills are outstanding. The Green Bay Packers find a way to create big plays off their scrambles. Brent Hundley gives you that. He's not Aaron Rodgers, but he can do some of those Aaron Rodgers things on offense.
Before we get to what this means for the Packers for the remainder of the season, real quick, going back to your college notes, I know I had a chance to look at mine. What did you find when you looked at those UCLA notes for Brett?
I thought he was athletic. I gave him B-plus in terms of his arm talent. I thought he did a great job throwing quicks, rollouts, things where he could get on the move and utilize his dual threat capability. Big thing for him, held the ball a long time in the pocket, and his deep ball accuracy was a bit of a concern. He's improved that during the time that I've seen him in the preseason. We'll see what it's like when the bullets are flying.
Yeah, almost too content to hang in the pocket. I want to see him use that athleticism, get out a little bit more. 125 sacks he took at UCLA.
Woo, that's a lot of sacks.
Or one game, I think at double digits. We were
10 sacks against Utah his final season.
Yeah, so he's got to do a better job getting the ball out, get him on the move, get him comfortable. You know, when you look at this team going forward, Buck, I'm not eliminating them from playoff contention. I am eliminating them from Super Bowl contention.
Yeah.
But I think this team, there's enough parts around Brett Hundley. I think they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to be, you know, in that 9-win range. I think they've got a shot. I wouldn't rule them out of the postseason just yet.
I wouldn't rule them out because they have a really good coaching staff. Mike McCarthy will find a way to put Brett Hundley in his sweet spot, in his comfort zone, and that might be enough to get them to 10 wins. 10 wins typically will get you into the postseason. I can see the Packers very well going into the playoffs.
All right, before we get to our bowl predictions, which you crushed last week, I want to talk just real quick on some options facing the Indianapolis Colts right now. It's an interesting situation when you look at them at the quarterback position. Andrew Luck has been hurt, still not out there. Looks like he had a little bit of a setback. We don't know when he's coming back. Jacoby Brissett has played well for them at the quarterback position. It was a good move acquiring him from the New England Patriots. They're staring more than likely at a top pick. Maybe not
right now they're
sitting
at number 7.
Yeah, they're in the top 10 pick range. So you could be in a situation where you try and turn around and trade Brissett again. Just acquired him. Maybe you spin him off to somebody else. You could be in a situation where you draft the quarterback of the future, or you could be in a situation which maybe people would think would crazy just based on reputation and the way he played early in his career. If he comes back healthy, do you maybe even consider shopping Andrew Luck?
I don't know if Andrew Luck would ever be what we thought he was going to be when he came out. I think this is really an evaluator and a team builder's dream. You have a quarterback in place, obviously, in Andrew Luck. You have another quarterback that looks promising in Jacoby Brissett. You have a top 10 pick that we already know. But the quarterback that is coming off of injury could probably net you two, maybe three first-round picks. If I'm the Indianapolis Colts and I am a confident team builder, I may parlay Andrew Luck into those three first-round picks and really go about rebuilding my team to give me the best chance to win. We could talk about one of these top quarterbacks that could be in the 2018 class. One of those guys could be a developmental prospect that we think can eventually be a guy that is a franchise quarterback. Jacoby Brissett is there. He can be the bridge quarterback for a year or two, win games while that guy develops. You would then have maybe three or four first-round picks to attack what are some significant holes in that roster. Pass rusher, defensive playmakers, maybe an additional offensive playmaker. I think the team would be better overall if you jettison Andrew Luck.
All right, that's really bold. We're not even got to our bold predictions yet, but that's a bold take. My thing is, how about some facts here? And this, because people will freak out about this. You guys are prisoners of the moment. You've forgotten how great Andrew Luck is. These are just some things that are irrefutable. There have been injuries. The durability is a concern.
Right? Two of the last three seasons, he's pretty much missed significant time.
That's a fact. I believe it's a fact. Go back and look it up. What happened when Matt Hasselbeck stepped into the lineup? This team was winning more football games than they were with Andrew Luck that year.
That's not
an opinion. That's a fact. And then you look at the leverage situation that they have. It's probably never going to be. You know, have this opportunity again where you could get your quarterback of the future, or you could stick with Jacoby Brissett, build around him. You have a lot of options, is what I'm getting at.
I'm gonna say something. This could be the equivalent of the Herschel Walker trade for the Dallas Cowboys. If you think about where Herschel Walker was able to net the Dallas Cowboys in building those teams of the 90s, Andrew Luck could have a similar impact for the Indianapolis Colts. I think you have to consider it because he could certainly help them build a team that could be a lasting contender for a while.
All right, let me just throw this out to you, see if you track with me on this. What would you do if the Jacksonville Jaguars called and said, we'll give you our first-round pick, Yannick Ngakoue, who's a stud young pass rusher, and let's say you want to throw in one of those receivers. You could throw in one of those receivers, an offensive player. So you've got a pass rusher, a first round pick, and an offensive player of your choice. At Jacksonville, I would think would do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, Jacksonville absolutely would do it, but I don't want any players from Jacksonville. What I would rather have are future number ones. Okay. I want to have enough currency where. So, because if I get the one this year to go with my current one, I have two ones this year. I get a one from them for next year. That give me two more ones. That are four guys that I'm talking about in the high cotton where I can go and really retool this roster. I already have a quarterback in place in Jacoby Brissett that I know can start. I can take one of those 2018 quarterbacks, get him ready for 2019 and 2020. And I feel better about how we're progressing.
And all this is fun because it's inside the division. There is zero chance
the
Indianapolis Colts would trade Andrew Luck within their division. They have to find another dance partner.
So imagine if they traded him to, say, the San Francisco 49ers, who need a quarterback as well. Like, there are a lot of options.
Luck goes back to the Bay Area. I like you thinking there.
Well, first-round pick.
So that's a fun one just to kick around. How about some bold predictions here, Buck? Before we get to this week's bold predictions, let's flip back to last week where you got this one right.
How about Adrian Peterson goes for 100 yards in his debut? For the Cardinals.
Come on, Buck.
Come on, 100 yards.
Like, is this for the season, or are we talking about?
No. Right now against the Bucks, they give it to him 25 times. He goes for 100, puts a couple balls in the paint.
Wow. How about the snark you're getting across the table from me on there? Yeah, that's unnecessary. You end up looking smart and make me look like a jerk. All right, let's jump into this. I got to try and get lucky and hit one of these things here.
All right,
I'll lead us off. Bold prediction. We talked a little bit earlier about Brett Hundley. I'm going to say Brett Hundley has a big game. How big? I'm going to say he accounts for four touchdowns. I don't know how they're coming in terms of the running variety, the passing variety, but the total is going to be four. He's going to have a big week this week. Brett Hundley, that's a bold prediction for me, four touchdowns.
That is a bold prediction because the last 3 weeks the Saints defense has been playing pretty well, only giving up 17 points per game. 9 takeaways, 3 defensive touchdowns. So if he has a good game, it says a lot about his talent and ability.
All right, I'm going to double down. I'm going to go for my second bold prediction, and I don't know if it gets bolder than this.
This is on my rundown. I can't believe
it. DeShone Kizer is back in the lineup. It's been a yo-yo thing here with the quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns for, 100 years. They've been just jerking guys in and out of the
20
lineup.
Quarterbacks they've played like 42, in the last 43 games.
That's ridiculous. But Kizer back in the lineup, and He's going to get it done. The Browns win their first game of the year against the Tennessee Titans, Buck.
Yeah, hold up. Wait a
minute. They're going to win their first game.
So
the Brownies. Done.
I got my glasses on.
So you can rack this and play it back next week.
The Browns get the first win of the season this Sunday against. Did you see how the Titans ran the ball? See how Marcus Mariota looked?
I know, but we challenged the Browns' manhood a little bit after last week, after the Houston Texans sliced them and diced them. They're going to bounce back. Kaiser's going to run around, make some plays. The Brownies get it done. Miles Garrett, Buck, don't sleep on him. Three sacks in two games.
I'm not sleeping on him. Kaiser Sose.
That's my bold prediction.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Give me something here.
You know, I love going out on a limb, and I love taking the people's champ, and I know nothing more that people enjoy than Jay Cutler. I know that Jay Cutler is a fan favorite, particularly down in Miami right now. And I'm going to say that Jay Cutler is going to bring a lot of joy to the South Florida fans this week. 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, or as we say, 3 tubs against the Jets. Miami Dolphins finally break out on offense.
No, Buck, see, this is the bold prediction segment.
So yeah, there we go.
Something like
Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler is going to.
Because you don't have anything about interceptions. Because he could throw 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. That would kind of be a.
No. 300. 3-3.
Bold predictions.
Bold. But if you think that's bold, I have a bolder one.
What do you got? Well, I hope you got a bolder one. I don't think that's that bold. After last week,
you went
big last week.
San Francisco 49er fans, get ready to celebrate this weekend. You have found your new franchise quarterback in C.J. Beathard. He is going to get the first win of the C.J. Beathard era in San Francisco.
Cowboys coming off a bye. 2 weeks to prepare for this.
I can't say. Last time I said print the shirts, I got it. I can't say print the shirts, but, like, go ahead and print the headlines. Get the papers ready. San Francisco Chronicle, get ready. 49ers get their first win behind C.J. Beathard. C.J.
That's how
CJ.
That's my percentage. I'm
oh, my goodness. Are you crazy?
Put in 0% here. I don't know if you can see
Beathard.
That at all, but it says 0%.
C.J. Yeah, Beathard.
No, it's not happening.
First win. First up.
Okay. All right. I shouldn't doubt you. You got it back. You got it right last
week. I
got
a C.J.
We'll see if
he threw a C.J.
Maybe he does it again this week. Well, Bucky, I love it when we get big-time players on the pod and on the show and get a chance to visit with them. And we do a lot of it as we march towards the draft. And one of my favorite players to watch this year is at the University of Washington, and that's wide receiver Dante Pettis. One of the best route runners in the country, and I think I can say it with certainty, without question, the best punt returner in the nation. Dante, thanks for joining us today, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
First of all, how has the season gone? I know you guys had a rough one the other night, but overall, just early impressions on what this football team is right now and where you guys are headed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that loss the other night was a little upsetting, but, you know, it might have been good for us in the long run. You know, it kind of propelled us forward. We got a little new edge to us now.
You know, Dante, it's always one of the things I'm fascinated by is wide receivers that can return punts. The fact that you are tied as the NCAA career leader with 8 punt return touchdowns. Talk about what you've been able to accomplish as a punt returner. How has it been so easy for you to put the ball in the paint?
I don't really know if it's just me. The guys in front of me blocking do a tremendous job. You know, they know if I get a little bit of space, I can get something done. So they work their butts off to get me that space. And we work on that a lot during practice. And so it's really just a team effort.
All right, I'm going to hit you with a pop quiz because I was at the playoff game last year against Alabama. Early in that game, I might have been you guys' first drive of the game. You hit a big one over the top. You score on a touchdown. So I'm going to ask you what the play call was. See if you can remember it. Who was covering and do you remember what leverage they were in or what coverage they were in? So I'm a little pop quiz for you here from last year's playoff game against Alabama.
It was what was the play? I don't remember because we changed a little bit.
Yeah, what was your route? How about your route?
It was like a hitch and go, basically. Mm-hmm. And so he was playing inside leverage, and I kind of knew that he drives hard on short routes, so I just gave him a little fake and that was pretty much it.
I think it was Marlon Humphrey, if I'm not mistaken, too. Marlon Humphrey jumped up. Yeah, we've got the picture evidence here of Humphrey staring at you as you're catching the ball over the shoulder, so it can confirm that.
Yeah.
No, you look in that game early on, man. You guys got it rolling a little bit. I thought you guys were competitive, if not for, I think it was Scarborough that popped yep. a long run, but you guys were right with them throughout that game. Go ahead, Buck. You want to jump in?
And obviously, like, you took Marlon Humphrey over the top, but you had an opportunity each day in practice to play against some really highly touted defensive backs, Marcus Peters, Buda Baker, Kevin King. What have you learned from your experience in competing against those guys on a daily basis?
You can never take a play off. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's a run play. They can, you know, if a good DB is going to be around the ball. And so you can really just never take a playoff. Doesn't matter who you're playing.
What have you been able to learn from this coaching staff at the University of Washington? I know you guys put out John Ross last year. I just look at the way that you run routes and how precise you are and understand how to set players up. You talk about leverage, having a good feel for the game. What have you learned since you've been on campus there at UW that's made you the receiver you are right now?
I think the biggest thing is just a work ethic. You know, whether that's getting out to practice and working a little bit harder than I did the day before, watching more film than I had previously been. I don't think it's specific things. I think it's just the kind of mindset that these coaches instilled in me.
You know, in thinking about working every day, obviously you pay close attention to the Sunday game. What players would you say that you model your game after?
So there's a lot of guys that I like to watch. I don't know. I'd say the top two that I watch, I guess, most frequently would be Odell and Amari Cooper.
What do you like about their games, and what have you been able to take from their games to put in yours?
Odell just does, I don't know, the way he plays the game, so much passion. You know, a lot of different things that I like about him. The way he goes up and attacks the ball, most of his routes, what he can do with the ball after the catch. And then Amari Cooper, I really like the way he runs routes too. A lot of his releases are something that I try to implement in my game. You know, he goes up and fights for the ball as well. There's just a lot of different things that each, you know, receiver does that I try to kind of take from their game.
You know, so when I had a chance to watch you on tape, you kind of reminded me of a guy that came out of Maryland, Stephon Diggs, who plays for the Minnesota Vikings. And what I liked about your game in comparison to Stephon, I thought both of you guys were very, very clean route runners. I thought both of you guys were special when you had the ball in your hands. Have you had a chance to see Stephon Diggs play at all?
Yeah, I definitely have. Like I said, I watch a ton of different guys, and he's definitely one of them I watch too. I do like the way that he plays. I've heard that comparison before, so when I first heard that, I was like, all right, let me go watch the film, see what he does, see what I can pull from his game.
I'll tell you what, I see some of that as well. I'll just real quick, when I watch, I don't know, do you remember Derek Mason? Played for a long time. I was around him when I was working with the Baltimore Ravens. He played for the Tennessee Titans. He was somebody that came into the league as a returner and then developed into an outstanding wide receiver. To me, I think you got a little bit of D-Mace in your game there. I'm a big fan of the way you play. Now, your family, this is kind of the family business in terms of being in professional athletics. Your dad now is coaching with the Houston Astros, still alive, battling the Yankees in the ALCS.
Yeah.
But I had some people here that were big fans of your dad, older than me, okay? Like, I remember your dad a little bit. I was younger. But we had some people in there who said, man, he was one of the fastest baseball players that I remember. Mm-hmm. So in your dad's prime, in your prime, let's put the distance. I know baseball is a 60, right? They run a 60. You're going to have to run a 40. Mm-hmm. So let's split the difference. Let's put you guys at 50, 50-yard race, a sprint. Mm-hmm. Dad in his prime, you in your prime, who wins?
I'm going with me. I got to go with me.
Gary, I have a feeling your dad, Gary, might have something different to say about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he would say him, but no, I think I would win.
Now, I have a question. Because your dad was such a prominent baseball player, did you play baseball growing up?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, do you feel like as a punt returner, some of the skills that you learned playing baseball have helped you become a better punt returner?
Yeah, and not just a punt returner. You know, receiver too. Tracking a ball. Whether you're like looking up over your shoulder, trying to find it, you know, tracking a baseball is one of the hardest things to do. And so you know, how for how small it is. And so when you get a football that's not moving as wickedly as a baseball does, it's definitely a lot easier.
All right, before we get to our 3H questions, which we'll explain in just a second. Now, your cousin, Austin Pettis, was somebody that I scouted at Boise State back in the day, wide receiver. So I've pulled up my report, and I'm gonna ask you to play a little over-under because I got his weight room numbers here from Boise State. So I need you to tell me with your numbers whether you're high or low off your cousin here. We have a little rivalry. All right. So I think he's got you in weight because he was 203 when I was in there. Where's your weight at right now?
I'm at like 195 right now.
Okay, so it's an advantage right there. Austin's got you one here. All right, vertical. I feel confident for you because would you want to take a guess what your cousin's vertical was? This is it. This is at the school. He might have upped it at the combine, but this was at the school.
33?
32. You got that, don't you?
Yeah, oh yeah, by a lot.
Broad jump, 10-7.
Yeah, I got that.
Considerably?
Yeah.
Okay. He benched 290. How are you there?
He's got me there.
He cleaned 291.
291. Yeah, I got him on clean though.
Okay, there you go. And then squat was 440.
Ooh, that might be a good one.
We're gonna go tie on that one?
Yeah, I'm not sure. We haven't maxed squat in a long time, but I'm definitely pretty close to that.
All right, tail of the tape, I think you're winning a close one. The last thing that I have in my background notes here is everybody at the school told me that he was a heck of a basketball player. Have you played hoops with him?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
So that's cool. So, Dante, it's something that we do here. We have a thing where we call it the 3 H's. So we always want to know your greatest highlight, your greatest hardship, and who is your hero. So throughout your time, your career, what has been your greatest highlight?
Pac-12 championship last year.
That's a good one. That was you guys didn't even make that close either against Colorado.
It wasn't very competitive.
Yeah, well, it was a fun game.
Yeah, for you it was. How about your greatest hardship? Could be on the field, could just be in life in general, something you've had to overcome.
I think last year's loss to USC was very hard. A lot of guys took it, you know, pretty hard, and that was one thing that we had to really battle back from.
And final thing, who is your hero?
My brother, I would say. Just he's gone through a lot of stuff in his life, and the way he always fights back is really admirable to me.
All right, now is this how many brothers do you have?
Just one.
Now is he the one that's in the was it Days of Our Lives? He's in a soap opera, isn't he?
Yeah.
What is his role? I haven't seen Days of Our Lives in a long time. What is it? What's his character on the show, and how is he as an actor? I need you to break him down.
So his role is a highly functioning autistic teen, and he's one of like the main character's sons. So he's in the show quite a lot, and it's a little bit weird to watch because it's a soap opera. So he's like overacting, I guess. And It's kind of hard to judge his acting because when you know the actor, you're always looking at them as the person and not the character.
That is a
he'll do something and I'm like, oh, that's Kyler doing this. That's what he does in his everyday life. But really, it's just him like trying to portray the character.
That is a thorough acting breakdown. How about that? That is phenomenal. Hey man, thank you so much for taking some time to join us today.
Yeah, of course.
And as a Padre fan, I'm just rooting for whoever can beat the Dodgers. So if that's the Astros, I wish your dad and the Astros as much luck as possible, man. Hey, good luck
Thank
the rest
you.
Of the season. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, Buck, when we had Christian Kirk on a couple weeks ago, man, you don't get more polished than that. And then we bring on Dante Pettis, this same type guy. Man, what impressive young guys we've got in college football right now.
The first thing I thought about when he was talking, he's a pro. I mean, he understands it. He gets it from a big picture perspective. I think he's going to play for a long time at the next level because he understands the process and what it takes to be a terrific player.
Now he's a four-down guy, too, being able to do what he does on special teams as well as what he does as a wide receiver. A real good player there in Dante Pettis. Thanks again for having him on. That was a great get for the guys behind the glass. Thanks for getting that done. Let's go to the college football picks, my least favorite part of the show. We can show last week. Buck had a nice week. Actually, everybody had a nice week. You guys are all 7-4. Bucky, Kent, and Sully, 7-4. And I'm 6-5. Thanks a lot, Texas. Appreciate that. there. We look at the season overall. Now I'm solo back in last place, 45-32. You're just a game ahead of me, Buck, and then Sully and Kent. Ken up there at the very tippy top of the board. But we've got a chance to catch up because we got two 2-point games this week, the first of which Michigan at Penn State, which is a huge game in Happy Valley. We'll pick that game in just a second, Buck, but I want to roll a little bit of sound we had from earlier in the week on Tuesday's podcast. We had James Franklin on to talk about Saquon Barkley and had some great insight on Barkley, but also had a chance to ask him about the schedule upcoming for Penn State. Spoiler alert, it's not easy.
Well, it'd be a lot cooler if the conference broke those three games up and we didn't have them in a row. But, you know, that's why you play big-time football. That's why you come to a place like Penn State for these challenges. You know, I'd make the argument that our division, our side of the conference, you know, you can make argument, you know, maybe the best in college football. You got Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan all on the same side of the conference.
Yeah, and their schedule, they go – Michigan this week, Ohio State the following week, and then Michigan State. So they have a murderous row coming up here for James Franklin and the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, I mean it's a very tough schedule. And I'm kind of perplexed. I'm having cold feet right now.
Oh, you're good. Don't change your pick yet. By the way, if you want to catch the rest of that James Franklin interview, just go NFL.com/MTSvideo. You can find it there. It had some really fascinating stuff.
I'm conflicted because I really like James Franklin.
I like him too.
I like him a lot.
But are you gonna? You're gonna go again? Are you gonna change up again? Hold up. So let's go through the picks right now. This is a 2-pointer.
Really
Michigan, Penn State, Saquon Barkley running towards the Heisman Trophy. Because I look at the sheet right here. It says Bucky, DJ, Sully, Kent all taking Penn State.
So you know what happens?
But now
They asked me too soon.
So now you're switching it?
They asked me too soon.
Do we have the breaks thing, you guys behind the glass?
They asked me too soon.
Okay, go ahead.
Asked me too early in the week. It's early in the week. It's before I've had my hot chocolate. I'm not focused.
So now you're going lone wolf. And you're partying.
I am.
So Michigan. Fighting Rich Eisens. Okay.
I feel like if you guys all know something, just doesn't smell right.
We spoke to their coach earlier in the week, Bucky. He seemed pretty confident. Right.
Michigan beat the tar out of them last year.
Beat the brakes out of them.
All right. So
and as my dad says, that leaves a scar. It leaves a scar. So I'm going to say that they haven't pulled a scab off.
Ooh, all right, Bucky, going for it here. I'm going to be out of last place.
I'm coming back. Either I'm catching Sully or I'm going to fall all the way to the bottom.
Man, this is hero or zero approach. All right, now we've
– Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's another one. Y'all hit me early.
USC at Notre Dame.
Y'all hit me early.
This is a 2-pointer.
You hit me too early.
Sam Darnold and that offense started to figure things out a little bit in the second half last week. I know they're going to be missing some guys. So Josh Fatu, their starting D tackle, is out. Rasheem Green is beat up. I don't know if he's going to play or not. So they go a little bit soft in the middle potentially, throwing some young guys out there against Notre Dame and Adams in that run game. And Wimbush can run it around.
Mm.
I say that because I'm looking at this sheet here, and it says Bucky's going Notre Dame. And it says Sully and Kent also going Notre Dame. So until Bucky changes his mind, right now I stand as the only one picking USC.
Here's what scares me. I saw Notre Dame play Georgia.
Georgia looked a little more athletic that day. It was a close game.
A little more athletic.
A little bit.
And I don't have the opportunity. I want to text BK and see if they're going to have the grass.
That's Brian Kelly, for those that don't know. They're on initial basis.
I want to text them and see if they're going to have the grass high this week or if they're going to cut it low. I think this is a high week. I'm going to stick with Notre Dame, but I want to put an asterisk.
You're going to stay with Notre Dame?
I'm going to stay with Notre Dame. But check my Twitter Saturday morning. My gut may feel differently.
No. This is in. This is locked in right now. You can't call BK and change your mind. This is it right now.
I'm waiting to find out if they're going to water the grass.
No.
I want them to water the grass. I want them to water the grass. I want it a little muddy. If it's muddy, I'm all about Notre Dame.
All right. Well, that's
I'm going with Notre Dame. I'm going with Notre Dame.
Okay. You got Notre Dame. You're locked in. I'm still one more time for me. Thank you, Sully, back there. One more time. Thank you. Okay. I'll go with USC. Oklahoma State at Texas. This is just a standard 1-point game, and –
I can't believe you turned your back on Texas.
I went with them last week. They screwed me. Finish the game, boys. You're right. You're coming back. You're playing
end. How are you going to break up with him? You broke up with him after 1 week.
I bought him. I bought him. I sold him. I once bought a cat. No, a dog. I once bought a dog took it home, and the dog barked all night long.
You took it back?
I took it back the next day. I bought the dog for $200. I returned it the next day. They said, we can't give you a full refund. I said, oh, what can you give me? They said, we'll give you $100. I said, that's fine. I rented a dog for one night. Good story.
Horrible.
You're heartless.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. The thing barked all night long. I couldn't sleep. Cut your losses. That's what I did there.
So
all right, let's go on Oklahoma State for everybody. 4, clean sweep. That's no fun.
No,
let's go to the next game. Louisville at Florida State. Now we've got a little something different here.
We do have a little something.
Who do you like, Buck?
I'm going to go Florida State.
I'm going to go Florida State as well. Kent goes Florida State. Sully behind the glass.
I think Sully's just manufacturing stuff. Come on, Sully. Have you seen Louisville?
Yeah, I have.
Boston College beat them to death running the ball.
I'm rolling with Louisville. I'm rolling with actually the whole state of Kentucky. We'll get to the other game in a bit.
Okay, here's my bold prediction in this college game. Cam Akers, you may not have heard the name.
Oh, I know the name.
He's run for 2 Bills. 200.
He's nasty.
200 on Louisville.
What's he going to do in the second half, Buck?
Oh, I mean, he may
get another 200?
They may rush.
Well, if you're going to go bold against that Louisville defense, 200 ain't bold.
Oh, it's not.
No.
It's not. I mean, Boston College.
Oh, man. All right, let's Oklahoma, Kansas State. What the heck? Why are we all – I can't catch up when you guys all pick the same team. Oklahoma, clean sweep. Everybody taking Oklahoma on the road against the Fighting Snyders. Okay, well, that's, again, no fighting.
Man,
that's
easy. No fun.
It's no
fun this weekend.
We need another drop of like, wah, wah, wah. Yeah,
somebody.
We all have the same one. That's,
no
fun.
That's no fun.
Wyoming, another one. Wyoming, Boise State.
No one's taking Wyoming? We got
Nobody
the hotshot quarterback.
Josh Allen.
Here we go.
It's not Josh Allen. That's the rest of the team.
Right. That's true.
Boise State.
Pump to break.
Are you going to flip it? Are you going to flip it?
Pump to break. I just can't.
If you going to go Wyoming?
I'm going to go Wyoming. This is why I'm going to go Wyoming. Didn't Boise State had a big win last week? Big win last week.
San Diego State. Yeah.
Yeah, they can't handle success.
Wyoming went on the road and beat Utah State.
They can't handle success. Let's go Wyoming. Josh Allen. Let's make sure we throw 4 touchdowns for the good team, not the bad team.
All right. Let's go through the rest of the picks here. This is a rapid fire here. We got Central Florida Navy. Everybody took Central Florida. Scott Frost. Gonna enjoy his last
right before he comes back home. Come home to mama. Come home to mama.
Be at the University of Sully. We've got Bama, Tennessee.
Hey Sully, who'd you pick? Did you pick Tennessee?
No.
You sucking sucker. How you not gonna pick your alma mater?
I would pick.
We're gonna get beat by 60.
I would pick take App State against Alabama.
They should take your degree.
Syracuse at Miami. Everybody picked Miami. These games stink.
They stink.
Kentucky at Mississippi State. Now we've got some variants here. Bucky, who you got?
Oh, you Mississippi State.
You went Mississippi State. I went
Mississippi State.
Wow. I went Kentucky for no reason. Sully also went Kentucky.
I went Mississippi State. I didn't know that. See, that's what happens when you call me when I'm sleepy and you ask for my picks.
Yeah, they switched them up. You are king of switching these things up.
No, I mean, I hadn't thought about it yet. I hadn't processed it.
All right, Bucky, tell the folks, if they don't know, when they can catch this crazy Move the Sticks show that we do.
Oh, you can hear our 10 takeaways. Sunday night, Monday morning, it's right there for you. We're going to talk about 10 observations from Sunday's games. We're going to give it to you hot and fresh. It's right there when you wake up. Make sure you get it.
What website can you go to if you want to catch up on all the videos?
Oh, NFL.com/MTSvideo.
You also find it on NFL Now, and you can go to YouTube. If you want to go to YouTube.com/NFL, got some goodies for you there as well. I think that's going to do it for us. That was fun, man. Pettis was awesome. Got a little listen to our conversation with Coach Franklin, which was a lot of fun, chatting with him and digging into Andrew Luck. Bucky said it. He's gone. He's trading him. See you later.
Ouch.
He's out. All right, that's going to do it for us here. This has been Move the Sticks, presented by the Ford F-Series. Thank you for watching or listening and whatever you're doing, and we'll catch you next time. See you later.